On a cold winter's day, there's nothing better than that burning fire in the open fire in the lounge room. And I still remember as a child that we, in our lounge room, before we eventually pulled it out because it's too much work and put in the gas, but we used to have the open fire there. And I remember, you know, it wasn't a very common thing for me to be up early, and certainly not before Dad would get up, but one day I was up early enough to see just the small burning embers in that fireplace. And watching then Dad do his, what seemed like magic in so many ways, you know, not having to light any matches, but just putting a few pieces of paper, and then suddenly there's this flame that begins to erupt from what was just this dead, dying embers, and suddenly there's able to be new warmth and new life bursting in all its abundance from that fireplace. And it's what we're meant to experience. So often we do allow, like Timothy in our second reading today, we allow our faith and the flame of that love that we experienced when we first came to the Lord to begin to die down and to be diminished and to die away to almost nothing at all. And so Paul is encouraging us to do that work of magic, to remind us that when those hands were laid upon us, for most of us in the sacrament of confirmation, when the bishop laid his hands upon us and prayed that we would receive that spirit of power and self-control and the wonder of all that God is doing, it's a reminder that, you know, it's no point having a flame within us if it's died down to almost nothing. The point of that flame is to give warmth and light to the whole house, to all who come within its sphere of influence. And so to remind ourselves that we are able, not through our own power, not through our own strength, but God, through God's work in us, to allow that little flickering flame to begin to burst forth and to grow into all of its abundance and life. And so it leads us then to the gospel and to this question that seems like a good question that the apostles, not just the crowd, but the apostles put to Jesus when he's encouraging them, inviting them to do what seems like an impossible thing, to forgive one another, to be people of faith and hope. And they say this sense of crying out in desperation before God, Lord, increase our faith. I mean, it seems like a good thing to ask, right? To be able to say to God, you know, increase our faith. And yet Jesus doesn't seem to agree with that. You know, were your faith just the size of this tiny little seed, then you're able to do these extraordinary things. And the different Gospels have different examples of what you would be able to do. Today it's the mulberry tree, this massive tree. It's about six stories high as it grows in height. And it was famous because its root system was very deep and well-developed. So it was a very solid tree. But Jesus says, no, this tree could be uprooted and thrown and cast into the sea. Or the mountain thrown into the sea. All of these examples of faith. What is our problem? What is the need? What is the focus that perhaps we get wrong? If Jesus says, no, this tiny little amount of faith, that will be enough. And so often we've thought, well, it's about us. It's about our need to grow in faith, to increase our desire, our longing, to build up all these exercises and do these various things in order that we might believe more. But no, that misunderstands the dynamic and the power of what is happening in this. What Jesus invites us to remember, it's not about the size of our faith, it's about who we have faith in. It's not about increasing our faith, but remembering that the faith, the one we believe in, is already massive. Our God is good, our God is great, and so it's believing in the goodness and the greatness of God. It's that we're able to be changed and transformed when we believe not in ourselves and not in our power, but simply that we come before a God who is great, That's the thing that needs to increase, not our belief in ourselves, but simply our knowledge of who God is, the wonder of God, all that God can do. When we know the power of God, when we're able to see and experience the work and action of God in other people's lives, then we can experience that increase because we're able to have our eyes opened to see that work of God within the world, within our lives, within the lives of those around us. And that's why an event like I went to last weekend up in Brisbane, going to the Ignite Conference, seeing the work and the action of God being unleashed in 1,600 young people's lives, to see them begin to open to the power of God being at work. As a priest, it was a special privilege for me to lead the adoration service and to walk through the midst of the assembly holding the Blessed Sacrament and to see and to experience the faith of these young people as they reached out their hands, wanting, desiring, longing for God to be at work in their lives. It was a reminder to me that that's where transformation happens. Not when we want to believe in ourselves, but when we experience God at work. Let's indeed pray, not that we'll increase our faith, but that we might believe in a God who is already massive, a God who is already available to us, a God who is great, a God who is good, a good, good Father available to us to do His work in our lives today.